So dear congregation, you are probably aware that the Bible gives us very many names and titles for Jesus. I just did a little series in Calgary on 9 of those names and titles, but there are over 300. But I went from A to I, and the letter B led me to the title, the name for Jesus that he himself gives, that he is the bread of life. And it's good if you have your Bible open to John 6, because we're going to look at that, where you find again and again this is emphasized. Notice in verse 32, Jesus speaks of himself as the true bread from heaven. In verse 33, as the bread of God. In verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. Again, in verse 48, Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. And then notice in verse 51, he asserts, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. So it's clear, right? If I preach on Jesus being called the bread of life, I'm preaching to you from the Bible, what the Bible teaches us. Here we have another name or title for the Savior, so helpful to meditate on and to feed on, spiritually speaking. This service is also a preparatory service for the Lord's Supper, God willing, next Sunday in your midst. Admittedly, we have to say right from the start, Jesus teaching here in John 6, speaking of himself as the bread of life and eating him as such, spiritually speaking, that is not referring specifically to the Lord's Supper. Let's be aware of that. Some have wrongly concluded that. Jesus isn't speaking about Lord's Supper here. Yet at the same time, Jesus teaches us in John 6 about him as the bread of life. And what he says teaches us we are to embrace him, to receive him. And that surely very much relates to the matter of rightly coming to the table in true faith and repentance, or not. Do you, do I, feed on the Savior as the bread of life for our souls? In this preparatory service, it is good and important that we think about what it means to feed on Christ, the true and living bread from heaven, by which all God's people are nourished now and forever. So, as mentioned in the bulletin, our theme for the sermon is Jesus, the bread of life, Savior of sinners, and confessing him as such. And in pursuing this theme, let's first investigate a little more what it means that he's the bread of life, what the meaning of it is. So, explanation on the name, you might say. And then we will have application on the name. And the application, we will give 5 feeding points in connection with truly trusting and following the Lord Jesus. And for that, we will make use of the letters of the word bread to help the sermon be simple and memorable for us all. To understand what Jesus meant in explaining himself as the bread of life, it is most helpful for us to consider the context of him doing so, and also to remember the Old Testament history as it applies in this whole matter. In the wilderness journey from the land of Egypt, remember, to the promised land of Canaan. What's the immediate context of Jesus' words in John 6, I am the bread of life? How does John chapter 6 begin? We didn't read it, but I did mention it to you. It tells the miracle story of Jesus feeding the more than 5,000, probably close to 20,000, with just a lunchbox meal from a little boy, a young boy, in that crowd. From 5 little buns and 2 small fish. Verse 9, Jesus, we're told, multiplied that lunch to feed a whole number of people into the thousands and thousands. And in the end, there were 12 baskets left over. It was a mighty miracle indeed. Well, we are told after that event that Jesus and the disciples, they crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And when they came across the other side, huge crowds that had been with Jesus in that miracle they had also followed. They came by land and by sea, just to be where he might be. But then in that context, Jesus speaks a warning word to the crowds about them just following him for earthly bread and for worldly prosperity. I mean, who doesn't want a Superman kind of person who can make a meal anywhere for us, whenever we want it, out of nothing? People wanted to make Jesus king right then and there so that he would make their life smooth and easy for them on this earth. And Jesus was aware that they were not looking to Jesus to save them from their sins, but rather to provide them with every earthly blessing and comfort here and now. You know, that sadly is not all that uncommon still today. Jesus is wrongly promoted and preached as the health and wealth savior for us, while not declared especially and particularly as the savior who came to save sinners like us. You know, a mega church like that of Joel Osteen in the States, it's one of the largest so-called Christian churches in North America, it neither preaches nor teaches a gospel focusing on Jesus Christ coming especially and most important of all to save us from our sins and sinfulness. No, they preach and teach a Jesus religion to make people feel good and great again, with him giving help from all the goods for a wonderful and comfortable life here and now, and to make people feel good about themselves. Let us watch out, dear congregation, for this type of glitzy, worldly Christianity, false Christianity, which is more common than we realize. We're thankful for faithful churches out there too, for sure, but watch out for this kind of smooth, false Christianity, and be discerning of the false spirits of our age, however attractive it may look to us. And isn't this comment in order? Yes, actually in line with the scripture we have before us this evening. For Jesus addresses the pursuit of false carnal religion, even as he proclaims the way of true religion to the people whom he's speaking to in his day. It is in this setting that Jesus warns, as we read in verse 27, labor not for that meat or that food which perishes, but for the meat or the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, he says. And then Jesus, notice, he calls the people in the crowd to believe on him as only Savior from sin and from our deserved destruction left to ourselves. But we are told, the people in the crowd, they then ask Jesus to give them a sign that he really was who he says he is, the promised Messiah, the Savior God. I mean, they dare to ask for a sign after Jesus gave them a sign and after he had given many signs. But they said, give us a sign, they insist. Like Moses, you know, gave the Israelites with the manna from heaven 6 days a week for 40 years, way back in the wilderness journey. And you can read about that all in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 16 and Numbers chapter 11, among other places. Well, it's in this immediate context and in the larger Old Testament setting of the God-provided manna from heaven that Jesus speaks of himself here now as the true bread from heaven. He says in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. And when the people then ask for that bread from him, he expands on the title, telling how he came down from heaven to be the living bread of salvation for us, saving people who trust and follow him as only Savior and Lord. It's in that way we become reconciled to God and we become his redeemed children and heirs of eternal life. In that context, Jesus further shows in John 6, he mentions how many of them were actually showing they weren't very interested in him. Jesus could see that. He observed that. They were only following him. Yes, he saw that. And it must have hurt him, don't you think? He saw that they were just in for the earthly and physical blessings and not for eternal and spiritual blessings, which really count above all. But Jesus noticed he has the confidence, no matter what, his work will be blessed. The Father gives him All whom the Father gives him will come to him. And we read in verse 37b, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, Jesus came down from heaven, congregation, to serve as God sent, all-sufficient, perfect, complete Savior of sinners. And as many as receive him as the bread of life from heaven, they will be saved. They will be fed with salvation. They will be saved by him truly and forever. Verily, verily, says Jesus in verse 47, I say unto you, he that believes in me has everlasting life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We know Jesus meant with this. He would give his life. Yes, even to the death on the cross. That sinners like us might find through his shed blood and through his righteous once for all sacrifice, full and free forgiveness of sins from God and the gift of everlasting righteousness and eternal life with him. Those repenting of sin and trusting and following him shall escape the eternal condemnation and the second death and the everlasting punishment that we deserve, each one of us, of ourselves, for all our sins and sinfulness. Jesus received and believed by us, you and me, Jesus embraced, yes, eaten in true faith, we can say, internalized, brings us salvation, rich and free. This is what Jesus is making ever so plain in our text passage when describing himself with this title over and over, I am the bread of life. Well, it's not hard to understand, is it? I think even the children in church can understand what has been said so far. You get it. You get it, right? What Jesus means when calling himself the bread of life. John 6 helps us to understand what Jesus means, even as it tells us further how the unbelieving Jews kept resisting him and refusing to understand and believe him. Their resistance makes plainer what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. Now, it's good, having just thought briefly on this title and explained it a little bit, to ask each of you, are you, am I, appreciating this name of Jesus too? I am the bread of life. Do you and I here embrace him? Eat him, spiritually speaking? Do we confess and acknowledge him as the bread of life come down from heaven to give us everlasting salvation and eternal life with God, which otherwise we will never have of ourselves? Will we each consider this question now, especially too with this week being preparatory week for you as congregation with Lord's Supper celebration next week, God willing, here in your midst? To come rightly to the table means coming as those who truly have and keep on feeding on Christ as the bread of life. It is hypocrisy. It is hypocrisy to come to the table, to participate there in receiving the bread and wine in remembrance of Christ, giving his life a sacrifice for us, if you and I are not daily feeding on Christ as the bread of life for us. So here are five, in further application of the text, five helpful feeding points drawn from the text to reflect on now and in this preparatory week as we are called to examine ourselves and so to come to the table of the Lord in the exercise of faith, in spirit and truth, next Lord's Day, God willing. Ask yourself for one, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as be the blessed Bible promised, beloved Savior of sinners? I give you three B's. Do you acknowledge him as the blessed Bible promised, beloved Savior of sinners? Do you agree and believe with all your mind and heart that in John 6, clearly, Jesus is teaching us, look, I am the fulfillment of all the foreshadowings of God's care and provision for sinners. Not primarily for your physical, though also for your physical and earthly benefit, but especially for your spiritual and eternal well-being. That manna back in the Old Testament, that manna miracle was something temporary and for the body only. But you need the gift of God which brings salvation to your souls. You need that Savior and salvation from heaven which brings reconciliation and redemption from sin before God. Yes, for you as a sinful, wayward person by nature, you and I, Jesus says, for you people, I am the true bread from heaven given by God the Father for sinners like you. Do you acknowledge He is the Bible promised, blessed, beloved Savior of sinners? You know, already in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, the Lord instructed the people how the manna miracle in the wilderness, God had this ultimate spiritual lesson in mind with it, namely that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And now when Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life, then He is teaching, look, I am the Word made flesh. I am the true and living bread given by God from heaven for the salvation of your souls. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Do you and I respond by saying, oh yes. Oh yes, thank God. It is so. And Jesus, I wholly embrace and trust you and follow you as such. I know with this gospel statement and name about you that you are emphatically the blessed Savior, the promised one from the day of man's fall. I am the bread of life. Congregation, do you prize this name of Jesus, embracing it, embracing Him, eating Him, believing He is without a doubt the blessed, biblical, beloved Savior of sinners that you so need and whom you will listen to and love and serve, God helping you for as long as you live? Are you and I feeding on Him thus, spiritually speaking, from the Word, receiving Him as the one and only blessed Savior of sinners? Yes, that's the first point. And the second is this, not only that, but isn't it right to say that those who really feed on Christ as only Savior and Lord, they trust and believe in Him, yes, also, secondly, as the rich Savior of sinners. Yes, the rich, real, royal Savior of sinners, if you want three R's, the rich, real, royal Savior of sinners for all who trust and follow Him and for as often as we come to Him and feed on Him. The gospel message is never can we exhaust the salvation blessings found with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, found for undeserving sinners like ourselves. But we may come to Him and trust He giveth and giveth and giveth again and again and again out of His fullness, and grandness as Savior of sinners through His finished work on sinners' behalf. You know, in our text passage, Jesus makes Himself known as the true and living bread from heaven for all the world to receive. There's enough supply. There's enough supply of true food and drink for all who come to Him. He that comes to me shall never hunger. You could translate, not ever hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. And the Greek says it very strongly. By no means shall you thirst again. There is, in other words, salvation supply, rich, real, and royal with Christ. Let the sinner come, pleading this name, bread of life. Coming rightly and saying, I believe you are the blessed Savior. I believe you are the rich Savior for sinners. Come empty-handed. Nothing of yourself. Come to Him, looking for everything from Him. I read a riddle the other day. Someone told me here in church, they like it when a question is asked. So I'll ask a question. The boy who said this to me, I'll ask a question for you. It's actually a riddle. What gets bigger and bigger the more you take away from it? What gets bigger and bigger the more you take away from it? Can you answer that, Leo?
A hole.
It gets bigger and bigger the more you take away from it. That's just a riddle. But I thought about it spiritually speaking. The more you take away from yourself to bring to God, Lord, maybe this time I can go to Lord's Supper because I'm a little bit better than last time. The more you take something from yourself to bring to God, you only dig your hole bigger and bigger. Everything comes from Him, why we may come to Him. It's all based on Him. He's a rich Savior for helpless, empty-handed sinners who trust Him for who He is as the bread of life from heaven. Jesus is a greater than Joseph, you know, in Egypt, not just with countless storehouses of food for the body, but with endless supplies of salvation for soul and body, in life and death, for now and forevermore, for all who trust and follow Him. You can never exhaust His riches, no matter who all comes, no matter how often you come. Well, this is my question. Is this what you confess? And you heartily believe that with Jesus, the bread of life, received and believed, you find full satisfaction and peace in your life here and now. With Him, you find real redemption and victory over sin, Satan, death and hell. And you know and believe with Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you have the promise of the resurrection and of eternal life. Jesus says this all and more in verses 39 and 40 and 50 of John 6. This is the gospel teachings, beloved. Jesus is most blessed Savior of sinners, and He's the most rich Savior of sinners. Don't we read Paul say this also in Romans 10? For the same Lord over all, he says, is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Likewise in Ephesians 2 verse 7, we read there, Paul says, he speaks of the exceeding riches of God's grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We can never exhaust it. You see, this is what God's true people trust and know and experience with Jesus, the Savior of sinners. It's what brings them rightly to the table. They don't come because, well, they're a little bit better than last time. They come because, in spite of all their shortcomings, they know their Savior is the bread of life. And He's rich. Is it your testimony of faith? Ask yourself this preparatory week. With Jesus as the bread of life, I find riches beyond compare for this life and the next. Are you rich before God? Knowing the true satisfaction in life and eternal peace with God here and now by grace through faith in the Savior. What more can we say and should we say in application? Well, can we not say too, doesn't our text passage in John 6 show Jesus also very much, and the God's people see this too, and this is so encouraging to them. It shows Jesus very much as the earnest, evangelical, most excellent Savior of sinners. Again, three E's. And don't all God's people own Him as such, as the earnest, evangelical Savior for sinners? Notice in the context of John 6, Jesus is addressing mostly unbelieving Jews, a scoffing and murmuring crowd. The people come across as not very interested in the bread of heaven come down to be the Savior of sinners. And at the end of the chapter, we read that many turned away from this Jesus. Verse 66 says, and they walked no more with Him. They weren't interested in Him. But notice, in this very context, how even with such an audience, Jesus, with all long-suffering, labored to show Himself who He truly was, and how much more important than their earthly prosperity was their getting right with God and being saved from sin. And Jesus would make Himself known to them as that bread of life from heaven for sinners like them. In verse 25, verse 30, verse 34, verse 41, verse 52, Jesus patiently and urgently, lovingly reasons with the people to see and receive Him as the bread of life for who He really was and is, concerning their great need of Him as the bread of life for them. You know, the way Jesus relates with the and reasons with the crowd. You can read it yourself again later. He shows, doesn't he, great care and compassion for sinners. And how he truly came to give his life a ransom for many. You know, we have a wrong picture of God sometimes. We think sometimes, I don't know if you think this, but it's like this, we think sometimes, Lord, please, please help us, but God is not interested. Lord, we need... God's not interested. It's the exact opposite, congregation. You look up in the Bible, often the Lord says, I extend my hands to you all the time, and you people are not interested. You're not interested. Come unto me, come unto me. No, I'm not interested. So, let's get a right picture. The Lord, in and through Christ, is very evangelical. He cares for the salvation of sinners. He cares for the lost. He has a heart of compassion for sinners. He's not desirous that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. Jesus is unquestionably most earnest and evangelical Savior of sinners for all who come to Him to be saved. And isn't this encouraging? Also in preparatory week, because maybe you did mess up badly. Maybe you sinned again in the way you thought you had conquered it. And you think, well, how can God receive me? The Lord Jesus is evangelical. He receives sinners. He welcomes sinners who come to Him. He's unquestionably earnest and evangelical as Savior of sinners. And we can learn this even from the simple picture with this name that Jesus gives of Himself as the bread of life. It's a name that's so simple. It's even for the children to understand. And the youngest, you can see something of an invitation. I'm the bread of life. Everyone knows that what bread is and how we need bread to live. And now with this simple name for Himself, Jesus, He's saying, I am that bread of life. Come to me. Come to me. He brings out how people need Him as their Savior and Lord, truly to have life, and that more abundantly and eternally. Let all come, therefore, to Him for life and feed on Him, the bread of life. When we are true Christians, don't we rejoice in this? Isn't this what we do by God's Spirit? We are drawn to Him because we realize without Him, we're going to starve. This characterizes the true Christian, doesn't it? You learn to be ever feeding on Christ in true faith and living in communion with Him as revealed in His Word. You say then, to whom else shall we go? He's the bread of life. Then, too, we know what most brings out that Jesus is indeed the earnest and evangelical Savior of sinners for sure. That He really means, I'm out for the salvation of sinners. Notice, isn't it the gospel fact that with Jesus calling Himself the bread of life, He very well understands, as the further chapters bring out too, He understands what this means for Him. He understands what it means. What does it mean for Him? It means for Him suffering and death on the cross in the sinner's place. As one commentator put it so well, and you as farming community will understand even better than my city congregation in Calgary. Have you ever thought about all that grain or barley must pass through before it becomes bread? It must first be planted and then grow. And when it's ripe, it must be cut down, it must be winnowed, it must be ground into flour. Finally, it must be subjected to the fiery heat of the oven. Only by this process does it become also bread, able to sustain us in life. And isn't this exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, that He might become the bread of life for sinners like us? Jesus was born into this world. He was planted here. He was bruised. He was cut down by sinful men. He passed through the fires of God's holy wrath as He took the sinner's place in judgment. That is His glory. He suffered this all for salvation of sinners, such as we are, that He might be the bread of life. As this commentator put it, Come to Him. Feed on Him. Drawing from His fullness. Because you find life with Him. And grow stronger and stronger through Him as the bread of life. Yes, in and through Jesus. The bread of life. The fact that Jesus too, after seeing so many turn away from Him, when He came especially to be the bread of life for sinners like us, that shows He was very earnest and eager even to serve as Savior of sinners. He would lay down His life even for those thankless and godless and worldly minded and sinful people. His own covenant people, He would minister to them, preach to them, they might come to their senses. Jesus didn't say, as He was ministering and having this obstinate crowd against Him, He didn't say, "Oh Father, take me home and just forget them all. Send them all to hell." No, but Jesus steadfastly set His face to Jerusalem, and He would suffer whatever it would take, that He would be the bread of life for hopeless, guilty, vile sinners, such as you and me, as many as the Father would give Him. And He would cast away none who came to Him. When you know and believe Jesus as the bread of life, congregation, then don't you want to come to Him? Also to the Lord's table in remembrance of His love and His faithfulness. Will you participate then in humble, thankful, joyful remembrance of Him? He who laid down His life for His sheep to be the true bread from heaven for us, for now and forever. Well, is this how you know Jesus too? And how you feed on Him? And how you testify of Him to others? Our text chapter gives reasons to hold Jesus high as the bread of life, being the blessed Savior for us, and the rich Savior, and the earnest evangelical Savior. And this all becomes so relevant for every one of us too, when you notice next what the chapter implies throughout. This Jesus is surely also the absolutely needed Savior for us. That's our fourth point, following the letter A of bread. And doesn't this come out too in our text passage very clearly? Wherein Jesus is described as the bread of life for us. Namely, what an absolutely needed Savior Jesus is for you and me. Isn't this something we also must acknowledge and will admit and confess if we will rightly attend the Lord's Supper? He's absolutely needed by me. And we can know this also from the picture or analogy itself of Jesus being the bread of life. I already hinted at it. You know, people need bread to live. Everyone knows this, and no one denies this fact. Now, bread here doesn't have to refer to a loaf of bread, like we're used to, literally, but it does refer to our staple food. Our daily ration of food for our physical health. Without our regular meals and drink, we could not live. But we would die. We probably could fast a few days after Christmas and New Year's, but without our regular food, we're not going to make it. Jesus speaks about the natural man, spiritually, being hungry and thirsty without God in Christ as Savior and Lord. The fact is, we remain in our sins. We remain lost. We remain under God's wrath. We're not joined to Christ. We're not having Christ in us. We remain forever empty and doomed to perish under the condemnation of God's just judgment for sin. You know that, right? Without the gospel word and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior, this whole sinful world, since the fall and rebellion of Adam and Eve, lies under the curse of God and the eternal righteous wrath of God for sin. That's not outdated truth. It's still the truth. But now Jesus came to send, sent of the Father, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Jesus, sin-bearer, would thus bear the judgment of God, even the eternal anguish of hell in body and soul in the sinner's place. And all the Bible declares, in many places, there is and can be no other Savior of sinners for us, but Him alone. Him alone. And I say this is what all true Christians learn and affirm on the basis of Scripture. Is it your and my sincere testimony, living also in our ungodly, pluralistic, anti-absolute age, also in church life, all too often, Are we saying, no, no, I still believe this, and I really have been taught this by the Spirit through His Word? Jesus is the absolutely needed Savior. How absolutely needed Jesus is for your and my salvation from start to finish. And you know what I find? The older I get, the more that's true. Have you too come to realize this? Learning something of your sins and sinfulness, your depravity, your deceitfulness by nature before God and your neighbor. Do you believe Jesus Christ is absolutely needed as Savior for yourself and for all people? Shall they be saved? The reason to press the question is because you know in John 6, how sad that so many in the setting of John 6, yes, among the covenant people of God, they turned away from Jesus, not interested any longer in Him. Why not interested? Because they refuse to take seriously their sin problem. Therefore, they also despise the Savior. And they would not trust and follow Him as the bread of life for themselves, spiritually speaking. Now, you won't turn away from Him, will you? Anyone here? You won't minimize your sin problem, will you? How very sad and horrible, even, when the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the bread of life for us, and people, yes, even the covenant people of God, refuse to come to Him. Jesus is the answer to all the searchings and the hungerings and the thirstings of mankind. Yet the tragedy is so many will not hear His voice nor follow after Him. Yet He remains, congregation, the absolutely needed Savior. As Peter confesses in verse 68 and 69 of our text passage, he says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom else shall we go? Lord, Thou hast the words of eternal life. Is that your confession too? Coming rightly to the table means believing and more realizing that Jesus Christ alone can save us from the guilt and bondage and punishment of our sins. Only with Him and in and through Him can we find pardon and peace with God. Jesus, the bread of life for us in this sense, that He has crucified and risen Redeemer, is the absolutely needed Savior of sinners. Shall we be saved, and shall we stay saved? Well, to you, do you today so testify of Christ and cling to Him and feed on Him as your Savior and Lord, each one here this afternoon? It's a good question for preparatory week, isn't it? And you know how it shows also when you do hold the Savior as absolutely needed. Then you also know assuredly Jesus is the dependable, or you could say delightful Savior of sinners. Going by the letter D, the last letter of the word bread. How does this last point also come out in our text passage? Well, read it for yourself. Hear for yourself how emphatically Jesus asserts those who come to Him as the bread of life will no longer hunger. And those who believe on Him will never more thirst. That doesn't mean you'll never hunger and thirst for Him more, but you don't have to go anywhere else anymore. You won't have to go anywhere else. Jesus states this over and over. Going to Him, you'll find everything you need and more. In verse 51, Jesus states triumphantly, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. How can Jesus' dependability as Savior, as bread of life for us, be explained? Well, He's the bread of life sent from heaven, sent from God the Father. And He's serving God's cause and plan in giving Himself as bread of life. And in verse 37, Jesus says triumphantly, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Beloved, Jesus, as the bread of life, declares himself as most dependable Savior of sinners. This is most certain gospel truth, not only because of Jesus' perfect life and sacrifice on sinners' behalf, but because of God's perfect plan and will as Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit accompanying him as agent of salvation and his resurrection from the dead. You know what? He's more dependable than a million-dollar tractor that you buy. He's more dependable than that really good machine that you get to drain your manure pit. He's more dependable than that by far. The gospel truth about the promised Messiah was already known in parts of the Old Testament, where the psalmist says in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him," because He's so dependable. Jesus is the bread of life, congregation, come down from heaven. What a declaration about Himself as Savior. Will you receive Him as the bread of life? Indeed. And ever feed on Him in spirit and in truth. Will you testify? And this is what the Lord wants us to do, you see, concerning Him. He's the bread of life. Yes, He's the bread of life Savior. That means He's the blessed, biblical, beloved Savior of sinners. He's the real, rich, royal Savior of sinners. He's the earnest, evangelical, excellent Savior of sinners. He's the absolutely needed, all-sufficient, all-in-all Savior of sinners. He's the dependable, delightful, most dear Savior of sinners. Isn't this what God's people learn to testify? And the purpose of Lord's Supper is that we do testify of Him that way. Because we can be so slow to believe. So the Lord gives a sacrament to strengthen us in the faith and to excite us in the faith. It's written in the Baptist Confession to excite us in the faith and in the way of faithfulness, because our Savior God is so great. He's so good. He's got many names, and all His names altogether can't tell all His goodness and glory. And just this name is so special by itself. He's the bread of life, Savior of sinners. Let this week of preparation be one where you think of Him as such, and come in remembrance of Him. Don't come presumptuously, and don't stay away carelessly. For He says, do this in remembrance of Me. Well, may God bless you in this preparatory week, and make next week, Lord's Day service, a feast day to the glory of His name, to the strengthening of your faith, and to the drawing in of more to Himself. In Jesus' name, amen.